1 Samuel chapter number 15, we'll read just one verse for time's sake, and we'll deal in this chapter and a couple other chapters, but just keep your Bible open. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. The Bible says, "And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel." And this is the man of God, Samuel, the prophet, speaking to the king of Israel, Saul, the first king of Israel, who God anointed and put in that place. And what a rebuke, what a statement that is being made, and we'll deal with it more in detail. But Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king of Israel?" I want to preach on this subject this morning. Remember how you used to be. Remembering how you used to be. This verse and this thought brought to memory many times while studying another verse that we're familiar is sort of along the same vein, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, where God said to that church, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." And if you've been saved any length of time, you probably can identify with the thought here this evening or this morning. And the thought is, remember what you used to be. Remember when God saved you. How many of you can remember that glad day? Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful memory. Amen. When God turned the light on and opened your eyes and mine to the dreadful fact that we were lost and in our sin, but to the glorious fact that He is the Savior who can save anybody and saved you and saved me if you're saved. If you're not saved, He will save you today. But Saul is being rebuked, and in chapter 15, if you study it, this thought, it goes all through this chapter and further. But there was a time in Saul's life when he was humble, and he was not this arrogant man that we see later on in his years that he become. And the man of God, it was his place to point that out to him and to say, "Hey, remember how you used to be back when you was little in your own eyes, before you got too big for your britches?" And I think we can all take note of that. I believe we all just naturally evolve toward the same mindset, and we get too big and too good, we think, and a lot of times we don't even realize that we've done that. But we just naturally, the longer we're saved, the easier it gets to think we're okay. But be honest. Just take a time out and just briefly this morning, before I get into the message, just think about when God saved you, how tender you were. God didn't have to beat you over the head to get a truth to you, to get you to do something, to get you to give something, to get you to serve Him, to get you to an altar. You was eager to get close to God. You was eager to do whatever. You was small enough to do anything. There was nothing too small for you to do for God. Everything was just an honor and a privilege to be able to do, whether it was taking an offering up or serving in a food line or whatever you could, giving a track out, witnessing to somebody. Now look at you to current date. How many of those same things are still there to that fervency, and it's that easy for you to do today? Be honest. You don't have to answer out loud, but be honest. We naturally move and grow to a place where we get too big for our own good. And that's exactly what happened here. And so as Saul was rebuked by the man of God, by Samuel, I want to not necessarily rebuke us this morning, but at least bring it to mind and let you deal with it as the Holy Ghost deals with your heart. And on the subject, remembering who you, remembering how you used to be. By way of introduction this morning, Saul's prominent attributes. The Bible has a lot to say about Saul. Now, the preacher said to him, remember back when you were small in your own eyes? But the Word of God, and God says about this man and gives dimensions of how big of a man he was. He was a, he gives prominent attributes. Saul was actually not a small person at all. He was actually bigger than everybody else in his day. The Bible mentions that twice in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. The Bible says, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and a goodly, and there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 23, and they ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders upward. He was head and shoulders taller, bigger than anybody else. So we see some of his personal attributes, but then Saul's personal assessment. Paul, that's what was being, they were describing him of being head and shoulders above everybody else and being goodlier than everybody else. But Saul does a personal assessment. And this is interesting. In spite of his stature, in spite of the fact that he was a choice young man, goodlier person than all the children of Israel, Saul was a man of humility. Listen. And lowest self-esteem. Verses 20 and 21 said, and as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on thy father's house? This is somebody talking to Saul. Listen to how Saul responded. Talking about his personal assessment. And Saul answered and said, am not I Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? Why are you saying I'm so good? And why are you saying I'm so great and so big and wonderful? And really, I'm of the smallest tribe in Israel. I'm of the smallest family. I'm of the lowest of the low. That was his personal mentality. You see, do you hear the humility in his answer? But not only do we see Saul's prominent attributes and his personal assessment, but, and here's where it starts, who we know of Saul. Saul's prideful arrogance. Somewhere along the line, he transformed from that man he was, that young, humble, goodly man, to an arrogant, prideful, too good for anybody man. Samuel reminded him of how he used to be, how that his position and his prominence, even his practices, had allowed pride to enter into his heart. And he had also chosen to assume the position of the man of God. Saul was not the man of God. Saul was anointed to be the king of Israel. But he was not the man of God, but he assumed that role. That's pretty arrogant. I know some Baptists that have done that. Think you know better than the preacher? Hey, I'll give you the floor. Come try it. God bless your heart. I'll clap you on. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way. And in 2020, with COVID-19 on the march, and everybody's got their opinion. Yes, our president has it. He's recovering. And I got messages from preachers. Their churches got it. I mean, it's everywhere. And we're deep into this thing. And people from one end of the spectrum to the other have their opinions of how it should be done. Can I say this to you in love? Until it's you who has to make the final call, you don't know what you'd do. I used to sit on a pew and say, well, I can't believe the preacher. Talking about this pastor here as I sit under him. Why don't he deal with that? I mean, it's right there in plain sight. It's obvious. Why would he not deal with that? Don't look critical at me. I did.
Or why is he dealing with that? And he should give that time. I had my own opinion. Why ain't he doing this faster? Why ain't it happening? Because I thought I knew better. Well, the Lord put me in the ministry and installed me into the role of pastor, and God began to chap my hide and say, oh yeah, big boy, you would have done that. You wouldn't have done that. Now let's hear what you do. And when it's in your lap and it's your responsibility and you got to answer to God for it, it changes a whole lot. And Saul had that same mentality a lot of Baptist people do. He wanted a backseat quarterback, and listen, it wasn't his role to be the man of God. He had enough already. He was the king of Israel. But he assumed the role of the man of God. 1 Samuel 13, 9 through 11. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what hast thou done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not when the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. He's saying, well, the people were getting scattered, and it just seemed to me like it was time to do the offering. It was time for me to assume that role of being the priest. And it was not. And he stepped way out of line, and God rebuked him, and the man of God rebuked him, and he was way out of line. But do you see how presumptuous he was, and how pride stepped into the role of his humility and filled him out and changed the very nature and the mindset of this man? Who was at one point saying, I'm nobody. Why are you talking to me that way? Like I'm some big. Now he's not only taking on the top role in the country, but he's taking on the role that God only can give a man. That is prideful. That's dangerous. Amen. Well, Saul also spared Agag, chapter 15. Verses 9 through 11, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me. This is the word of the Lord. It's not somebody's opinion. This is what God said about Saul. God had told them what to do. God had told them to kill it all, to destroy Agag. And God said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Do you see this man is radically changing from the man he used to be? That's what pride will do. That's what being a know-it-all will do. Lord, help us to remember who He was when He saved us. You cannot be in a realm of pride being born into the family of God. It is a humbling thing to realize you are a sinner headed for hell, deserving of hell, but that the God of heaven died for you, and He's the only way to let you into heaven. That, my friend, and then He saves you and washes you and takes your sin away and removes it and makes you fit for heaven. That's the most humbling thing ever happened to me. I remember walking out, standing up and being born again and saved, thinking, my goodness, what a glorious thing. But I was so humble, so thankful, so glad that I was saved. Nothing prideful about it. It was just all glory to God. Nothing that I could done. Nothing good that I could do. It was all Jesus. All Jesus. But here, Saul got far from that. And Samuel's weeping over what sin has done in this man's life. Samuel confronted Saul about this pride and arrogance in chapter 15, verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little, goes right along with, we said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes and of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? There are a few things about Saul that
you find that stood out about him when he was little in his own sight. The word little simply means young, small, insignificant, and unimportant. And what Samuel was saying was, remember how you used to be when you were small in your own sight. And so I want to look at just a couple quick things this morning that he saw and he wanted him to remember when he was small in his own eyes. Number one, he was searching for the lost. Before he got this named position, back when he was just that small man in his own mind, and he didn't have the air and the pomp and the circumstance of being the king of Israel and holding that grand position, he was busy searching for the lost. And oh, how that was me. I remember when God saved me. Before I got the title of a preacher, before I got the called to preach and got the title of a pastor or a teacher or any other thing in life, I remember just being a sinner saved by grace, and I was worried about finding lost souls and telling them how they could be saved. That was Paul. That was Saul. Look at chapter 9, I believe it is. Chapter 9, verse 3, the Bible says, let me read this verse to you. Chapter 9, verse 3. The Bible says, "And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, 'Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go, seek the asses.' And he passed through." So in other words, these asses were lost. And he spent his time going city after city, town after town. He wasn't king. Listen, could you imagine somebody coming to King Saul and saying, "Hey, my asses are lost. My donkey's got out of the pen. Can you go find them?" Well, he'd have said, "I'm too big for that. I'm too busy for that. I ain't got time to fool with your lost problems." But oh, as that young man that was small in his own mind, that was humble, he spent his time seeking and searching for that was lost. And I thought about that. If he could do that for lost donkeys, remember how I was, and remember how you was when you just wanted somebody that was lost to know how they could find their way home. And then fast forward to today in your Christian life, you would think we would have more of a desire to see lost people saved. You would think at the more we learn about the Word of God, and the closer we get to God, and the more we pray, and the deeper we go with God, and the groaner we get with God, the deeper desire we would have to see lost people saved. But that's absolutely not true. And the track record proves it. And the time you spent this past week proves it, telling people about Jesus. The time we spent this past week going to find lost people in need of a Savior who don't know their way proves the fact we don't care that much about those who are lost. I guarantee you we spent more time watching TV last week with sports and games and hunting and hobbies and everything else that we can fit making a dollar than we did about telling somebody who was lost how they could be found. I guarantee you. Listen, I'm not mad at you. I'm brokenhearted at myself, because I remember a time when I was way more apt to go out and knock on doors and tell somebody about the Lord. Take some time out of my day and share with other people that are lost and let them know I once was there and I was found, and I can tell you how you can be found. I can't help but notice that over time people lose their burden for seeing other lost people brought to Christ. They want to do something more important, something more prominent, something more advanced. Give me a role in the church. Give me a title. Let me do something for God. Let me teach a class. Let me be over this. Can I say something to you this morning? There's never, ever going to come on the scene anything more important, anything higher than, anything more advanced than finding lost sinners and telling them how they can be found. That's the greatest service you can ever be involved in. Amen. Well, I say I never want to lose sight of my responsibility to go seek and find lost sinners and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Amen. So not only
Number one, he was, back when he was small in his own eyes, he was searching for the lost. Would you agree? Number two, he was sensitive to the Lord. Have there ever been a time in your life that you are more sensitive to Jesus than you are today? Again, don't answer out loud, because I'm not your priest, prophet. I'm just your preacher. And you have to answer that between you and God. Because I don't need to know. I don't want to know. But you know. And whether you answer that verbally or out loud, you and God know the answer to that. Have you ever been closer, more sensitive to the Lord than you are today? In other words, have there ever been a time where God could just whisper to you, do this? Yeah. And you'd do it. Just because God said, I want you to do this. Remember? So why do you think he was, when he was small in his own, he used to be that, why do you think he was more sensitive to the Lord? 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. Now this is before he came king. And he was out serving and working, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he prophesied. Saul did. I'm saying, where he was at being a king, he was too busy to listen for the voice of God, because God would have never told him to go out and to take on the role of being the man of God. That was clearly Samuel's position. God didn't need Saul in that role. God had given him a role. God had anointed him king, but there he's assuming and thinking, well, the preacher ain't made it on time, and my people's getting scattered, and we need to have a sacrifice, and we need to go on with our rituals. And so he just assumed that role and started doing it. No, that didn't come from God. That come from his own mindset and his own thinking. If he'd have been sensitive to God, the Holy Spirit, God would have said, no, don't you do that. And it's very clear, because God went on to say it repented him that he even put Saul in that position. Yeah, I'm saying he was way more sensitive back when he was willing to just do whatever God told him to do. I want you to go prophesy. And he was to a place in his life where the Spirit of God arrived on him and come on him, and he prophesied and worked for God. And it was the same Spirit of the Lord that is working in our lives today. Not a different Spirit. It was the same Holy Spirit. There is not another Holy Spirit. There's only one. And this same Holy Spirit that we find in Genesis 1, where the Bible says, let us make man in our own image, the same one in the very beginning of your Bible, the same one in Saul's life, is the same one working in mine and your life. And it would do us all good to be sensitive to the wooing and the moving of the Spirit of God. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. In other words, remember how you used to be, Saul? Samuel confronted him. He said, back when you were small in your own eyes. You remember how you used to be? Remember how sensitive you used to be to the moving and the wooing of the Spirit of the Lord? And so just by way of application and moving on, have you ever been more sensitive to the Lord than you are this morning? Please don't answer me. Answer God and answer yourself. To break your heart, to work in your heart, to take away, to take that old heart and give you a clean heart, sanctified heart. Notice verse 10 and 11. And when they come thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass when all that knew him before time, all that knew him before time, it's talking about Saul, all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is it? What is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Saul also among the prophets. Other people noticed the change in him. When we're sensitive to the Spirit of God, people will see it. We'll begin doing things that we don't usually do. I promise you, if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God, you'll be back at church tonight. And if you are and you don't normally come, I'll notice it. Others will notice it. Your children, when you say, hey, boys, girls, get your clothes on, get your dresses on, we're going to the church house. Your kids will say, say what? We don't normally do that. Well, Daddy, ain't you going hunting? No. It's Sunday, boy. Put your clothes on. Get your Bible. We're going to church. Well, Daddy, we ain't watching the game? No, boy. Put your clothes on. Get your Bible. We're going to church.
Amen.
They'll notice it. Your family will notice it. Your friends will notice it. Well, why ain't they at home this evening? They usually at home. I'm saying just get sensitive to the Spirit of God. And don't come because I said to come. But I promise you, if you're sensitive to the Spirit of God, God will tell you, get your hide to church tonight. It's ridiculous that we have a good crowd on Sunday morning and then we just got a few come back on Sunday night. If you think God's okay with you doing that, come see me personally. I'll give you one-on-one time.
Amen.
And show you how goofy you are. That is not what God wants for you. God don't want you to be a part-time Christian. And if you think you're so spiritual, you only need it on Sunday mornings, I'll give you two sessions. Lord have mercy. Remember when you first got saved? People didn't have to drag you to church. The preacher didn't have to preach about you getting back to church. Oh, you wanted to come. You wanted to come. Because you're sensitive to the Spirit of God. Yeah. Remember how it used to be? Remember when your love for Jesus was so strong you didn't care what other people had to say? Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Boy, that's a good verse for 2020. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Think about how many people have just ensnared. Listen to what everybody in the world, listen to what every man in this world has to say. Are you listening? That ain't what God desires. But whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You want safety? Put your trust in God. Get your confidence out of man and what man's got to say. And put your trust and confidence in God. There's safety. Well, lastly, he was searching for the lost. He was sensitive to the Lord, and he was surrounded by the like-minded. Verse 26, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. The common denominator in that was their hearts had been touched by God. It doesn't say this band of men had common interest. It doesn't say that they were the same age. It doesn't say they played on the same ball team. The common bond was every one of these men's hearts had been touched by God. He was surrounded by the like-minded. Because he was surrounded by men whose hearts God had touched, it helped him not to get in the flesh. That is... Listen, get around spiritual people. Stay around spiritual people. I wish I could say, Lord, forgive me. I wish I could say, stay around church people. That should be the case. But some church people are meaner than junkyard dogs. Some church people have treated me worse than the lost world would ever think about treating me. God forbid that be the case and be the testimony of our church. That's why it matters. When you tell people, hey, I go to Morningstar Baptist Church, you ought to act like it. Act like a Christian. Be a Christian. Don't act like it. Let me retract that. Be a Christian. Don't just act like it. Be a Christian. Being a Christian is more than being saved. Saved getting you into heaven. Hey, being a Christian is acting like you're going to heaven. Treat people like Christ treated them. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Love people. Be good to people. Help people. Be kind to people. Be slow to wrath. Be forgiving. What a concept. Christians, be forgiving. You would think, Brother Ned, we'd be the most forgiving, slow to anger, slow to wrath people on the planet. After all, God was slow to anger, slow to wrath, and forgave us. But we sometimes are the most short-tempered, can't wait to get something on somebody, hold it over them, talk about them, run them down. God have mercy. That ought not to be the testimony of the church. But you tell me. Brother Jimmy, does the church, and I ain't necessarily talking about this one, but this one's included, does the church not have a testimony of being a bunch of gossipers? Well, did the world just make that up? No. You know how the church got that testimony? Because people down at the church love to talk about people who ain't doing stuff that they don't do. Ever notice how funny it is that gossipers don't talk about people for gossiping? Because they're guilty. No, they'll talk about your sin and what you did wrong. And they'll blab that all over the world. No, listen, just be a Christian. And hang around like-minded Christians. If you want to be more spiritual, if you want to up your game, quit hanging around with filth. The old statement we've heard all over life, birds of a feather flock together. You lay down with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. Listen, I'm learning. Them old time statements, them old wise tales, there's a lot of truth in them. They were said and they stuck for a reason, because people know if you lay down with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. That's why I don't lay with dogs. I don't like fleas. I don't. Not a little bit. I don't want no bugs getting on my body and having a feast for free. And all I got to do to avoid that is don't be on dogs. And don't let dogs on me. I have a dog, but I'd be John Brown if that dog's going to get in my bed with me. And if you do that, God help you. But it ain't worth it to me. There ain't no relationship with a dog worth it to me to have fleas. And there ain't no relationship should be worth us having that's going to cause us to be less than what we can be. Amen. For the glory of God.
Amen.
Change who you hang with. This church ought to be a main focal point of your week. Not just your week, of your life. Your children should know. That's three times a week I know what our plans are. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, our family's going to be at church. We're going to hang with God's people. You know what? I've raised my children. They ain't perfect. Lord knows they ain't perfect. But I love them, and I've tried my best to raise them. And I know, listen, I'm about done. Give me a second. I'm almost done. Listen. Josh, I know I'm a pastor. Most of their life I've been a pastor. I know the guts of the church. I know the ugly that goes on down at the house of God. I've had more stuff said about me, and I'm telling you, I know all the bad. But you know what I've chosen to do, JD? Raise my girls down at the house of God in spite of it all. Because it's still the best place on planet Earth.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That's right.
That's right. They've grew up under the shadow of a steeple around God's people. You know why? Because I think that's the best influence I can possibly put in their life is to be around God's people. Do I send them to school? Absolutely. Do I go out in the world? Yes. But the constant thing that I can put in their face and put around them and put them around week in, week out, week in, week out, is they're going to be around God's people.
Amen.
Yeah. You know why? Because who we hang with matters.
Right.
It absolutely matters. And you believe that. I promise you believe that. Whether you admit it to me, you ain't going to let your children go hang out with the drug addicts.
and like it. You, if they do it on their own and you can't control it, that's one thing. You won't like it, and you'll be calling me to pray for them. But when they're in your house, if you got any sense at all, you ain't going to say, hey, boys, y'all go hang out with the local meth heads this week. Go down to Crack Village. Won't y'all go to the beer joint and shoot some pool tonight, boys? No! You know better! You know better! You ain't going to encourage that. Right? The same concept, the same principle is there. If we don't think it works and we think it's dangerous to put them in bad environments, we know it's good to put them in good environments. And this is the best environment you can get your kids in and your family in. Because like-minded, surrounding yourself with like-minded people, people who believe the same, people who believe we're going to the same heaven, believe we've got the same God, believe the same Bible, that's absolutely critical.
Yes, sir.
In our life. Hey. Amen. Let's stand together. Remember how it used to be? Hey, it's time to make some of them old things new again. Make some old commitments new and fresh again. Amen. Get back the ground you've given the devil. Fall back in love with Jesus again. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for your church. Thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather again this morning. Lord, I love you. God, I know. God, I used to be small in my own eyes, Lord. There's been times, Lord, my flesh has, Lord, has swelled so much. God, my head's got so big. Lord, you've had to knock me down, back down to size. Knock the pride out of me. God, I pray. Lord, your word says humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. God, I pray we'd humble ourselves and choose to humble ourselves so you won't have to humble us. Lord, I've learned it's much easier if I just humble myself. I'll make you humble me. And Lord, I pray, God, for every mom and every daddy, God, that used to be close to you. God, we've drifted, Lord. God, we've got big in our own eyes, Lord, not even realizing it. We've let some things stray, Lord. I pray, God, you touch and help every mom and every daddy, every house, Lord. God, give us some families that are strong and steady, sturdy, Lord, for the things of God. Give us some spiritual families. Give us some spiritual daddies, Lord, that'll lead their families. Some spiritual mamas that'll pray over their family and their children. Love their husband for standing for you. God, give us some children that'll respect and obey God and be thankful for godly parents. Lord, I pray you strengthen our church, Lord. Oh, God, help us all to remember when and where you found us and how you found us. Lord, you loved us. Pray you'd help us to get back to that place, God, where we're sensitive to the Spirit of God. God, we surround ourselves with like-minded people, Lord. God, help us. I love you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for me. God, I pray you'd save any lost person that's here today, God. Touch, have your way.
Of the Lord.
People
are
praying,
would
you come? Altars are open, would you come?
There was nothing I wouldn't do for him. No place I wouldn't go. I always served him faithfully. Each day on him I'd call. To think that I could one day stray made no sense to me at all. But somehow my step has faltered. I've somehow wavered from my stand. I know I'm still his child, but how I long to feel his hand. Lord, I'm tired of being a dampened fire that rarely burns at all. Help me to shine the light for Jesus' sake and get up each time I fall. Lord, I know I can't do everything, but I need a place to start. Bring back the burden that once moved my heart. We may feel our lives are finished, that we'll never overcome. This weakness in our life that takes away our strength to run. But the emptiness inside you doesn't always have to be. His desire for us is still the same, and He's waiting patiently. So no matter what we think or feel, it's time we make our claim. We must go back to where we were when we first called on His name. Lord, I'm tired of being a dampened fire that rarely burns at all. Help me to shine the light for Jesus' sake and get up each time I fall. Lord, I know I can't do everything, but I need a place to start. Bring back the burden that once moved my heart. Lord, I'm tired of being a dampened fire that rarely burns at all. Help me to shine the light for Jesus' sake and get up each time I fall. Lord, I know I can't do everything, but I need a place to start. Bring back the burden that once moved my heart.